This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Yes, welcome to Her Voice on Joy 94.9. I'm Emma, and I am joined again this week by the lovely Anne Louise.
Hello, Justice. How are we?
Barbara, who is back.
Hello.
So, yeah, we've got an exciting show coming up tonight. We're joined in the studio for the first half of the show by local comedian Kirsty Wiebeck, who is a lot of fun. She has a show coming up later on this week as part of the Midwinter Festival. Then later on, we are going to be getting an update. We spoke to Lauren last week from the Girls on Film Festival. This week, we're going to be catching up with Isabel from the festival, who has some announcements to make about some of the films. And then we're going to do a bit of what's on in town this week and later this month. And then we're going to have a chat about a bit of a book club that we want to get set up here on.
I'm telling you, if it doesn't have pictures, I can't do it.
And Louise is apparently not much of a reader.
I'll do the centrefolds, as long as it has something interesting I can flick to when I'm bored.
I don't think it's going to be that kind of book club, but we will be taking input from the listeners.
Dostoevsky, damn it.
If that's what everybody wants, that's what we'll go with.
We could do a special for Anne Louise.
Picture's great.
Picture books.
Picture books, yeah. With letters on them. Teach you the alphabet.
So, Kirsty Wiebeck, welcome to Her Voice on Joy.
Thanks for having me. I want to be in this book club.
Yeah. Do you want to be in the book club in general or just Anne Louise's book club?
Both, I reckon. Okay.
It's ABCs and 50 Shades of Grey, nothing in between.
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay, good.
50 Shades of Grey. I have not read it.
It is innocent titillation. Everyone's like, but it's so awfully written. And yeah, of course it's awfully written, but it's got great sex in it. Why wouldn't you want to read that? Hello. Sorry.
Sorry for the awkward silence.
Very passionate about that. A little bit too passionate.
It's got good sex in it, people. Read it.
So, Kirsty, back to you. We'll move on from 50 Shades of Grey. Tell us a little bit about your background. Did you grow up here in Melbourne? Have you always been a Melbourne girl?
No. I wish I'd made up a story for this, but I haven't, so I'm going to just tell you the truth. I'm from Canberra.
Oh, no. Get out.
Everyone's upset. I've upset everyone. I'm from Canberra. I grew up there. I lived there for 22 years, and then I lived overseas for 6 years, and then I've been in Melbourne for about 5 years. Don't calculate that.
I'm adding that up.
Don't add it up.
Tossing.
And I'm 23.
Achieved a lot in 23 years. That's very good.
Yeah. I've crammed it in.
Whereabouts overseas did you live?
I lived in Taiwan.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. I was over there studying Mandarin. I mean, obviously, that's what people do, isn't it?
I'm currently learning Mandarin.
Are you?
Is that true?
Ni hao.
Oh, yeah, you nailed it.
Wen hao, Nina.
Oh, Wen hao.
Wen hao, Nina.
Should we just do the rest of us in Mandarin?
Okay. That's all I know, welcome, mate.
Well, Barbara and I will just, like, take off and leave it to you guys then. I'm judging. You may know Mandarin as well.
No, I don't. Like, I'm European. I speak 9 languages, but Mandarin is not one.
Nine.
Isn't that what everybody thinks?
I
don't, but that's what everybody thinks.
I'm Australian. I barely speak one. That's the way we roll.
Actually, Mandarin's quite hard, isn't it? Because it's a tonal language, so you have to kind of, and that's a bit tricky, weird to do, isn't it?
It takes a bit of practice.
Yeah.
Yes, that was a very politically correct look at how Mandarin works.
So, hang on, you were there for 7 years learning it. Did you master it finally?
Yeah, I did. Oh, it's probably slipped. I mean, I probably speak it as well as a Caucasian person who learns it as an adult can.
Can, okay.
Yeah, and it's actually quite redundant because when you look at me, the listeners won't actually be able to see me clearly. But, yeah, when people look at me, they don't expect Mandarin to come out of my mouth.
See, that's what I'd love. Yeah. I'd love to just go into an Asian restaurant and start ordering shit off the menu. in Mandarin. How cool would that be? Give me chicken feet now in Mandarin.
So is that the, look at you, is that the reason you learn it there?
Just to order it at a Chinese restaurant.
You know, do that.
I just want to learn it because I can. You know? I'm just one of those people, but I drop it as soon as I bloody get bored.
Yeah. It was either dodgeball or Mandarin, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I can get by. I could probably feed myself somewhere in China.
Well, that I'm super impressed by that anyway.
Oh, same.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Oh, thanks,
yeah,
team.
I'm definitely impressed.
And so you've been in Melbourne for 5 years?
Yeah, about 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, we're much cooler than Canberra. No offence to Canberra, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's full of Canberrans as well, actually.
I feel like they managed to escape.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, you know, yeah, Melbourne's definitely, more cultural. It's got a much larger art scene.
Is it kind of like the day after your 18th birthday? It's like, right, parents, off to Melbourne, see you later. Is that how it works?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah, for most people. You either stick around for uni for a little bit and then get out of there, or, yeah, it's like 18th birthday, I'm outie, mum.
There is
once this hangover clears up.
Hang on, there is something quite unique about Canberra with relation to adult movies, isn't there? Have I heard something about adult movies in Canberra being... Something about the adult movie industry being legal.
I only know the fireworks.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And that's where the majority of adult movies are made in Australia.
Oh, so yeah.
It doesn't really figure, does it?
Yeah. There's these old brickworks near where I grew up, and that was a hotbed for adult movies.
Nice.
Yeah, you see all sorts of people meandering.
That's where you learned your best from peering in the windows there.
Yeah, well, yeah, girl. Yes. Thanks for putting that out to the community.
Not necessarily what you wanted to be learning, peering through those windows. So.
No, yeah, not particularly, but, you know, you do the best with what you get, don't you?
It might have turned you off some things for your whole life.
Yeah, I'm going to blame it on that.
Yeah. We all do.
And so how long have you been doing, because you do stand-up comedy full-time now, how long have you been doing that full-time for?
For a bit less than 2 years, yeah.
And was it scary to make that transition from working to just, I mean, you're really self-reliant now in doing comedy full-time for yourself.
Yeah, it was. It was terrifying. I mean, I went from, the security of a cushy government job and not having to worry about anything other than how to sort of make toast.
Maybe boil an egg if you wanted to mix it up
like,
a bit.
Yeah, if I was really like looking for a protein hit.
or you had a lady coming over or something.
Yeah, and
perhaps.
I wanted to dazzle her.
Yeah.
Like I made that joke, like, how do you have your eggs in the morning? And then it suddenly occurred to me that I didn't actually know any of the ways.
You're like, I can butter your toast, though. Yeah. And I can, like, put toast with your butter. Big schmear.
I'll have a crack at it anyway. You just hold tight. Oh, bless. So, yeah, it was. Let's get back on track then, shall we? I'm glad I took
so
it down that path.
The first time you did stand-up, did you not absolutely crap your bags on stage?
Oh, absolutely. I don't even remember what I talked about. And
like, did you have stuff written on your hat? You must have.
I didn't.
Prompts.
It was more
you
like...
You didn't have any prompts.
No, I didn't have any prompts. It was more like when you're in year six and you do a rostrum speech and you memorise it and you all of like the false intonation. You know, your teacher like really coaches you. It was more like that. Like, hey everyone, what's up with bagels?
Oh, yeah. No.
And you've survived 2 years with that.
Oh, well.
You've gotten better.
Yeah.
So were they good to you on your first show?
Yeah, they were. And I think my jokes were actually okay. It was more the sort of robotic delivery.
Right,
and
yeah.
The freaking out about what comes next, like, that you get with a heavily
scripted show. Or if somebody interrupts you or something.
Yeah.
Interrupts your flow.
Yeah, or even when people laugh, because the first time you do it, you don't expect people to laugh. You forget that that's the purpose of you being on stage. So when people laugh, you're sort of like, what's happening? And you keep barreling through, and it's like, oh, tone it down, guys. I've got more to say.
And obviously, you're interrupting me with your hysterical laughter.
Excuse me. Please.
It's not that kind of show, guys. Everyone just settle down.
Yeah, you're allowed to have one titter and that's it. Per joke, okay?
What advice would you give to someone, apart from learning how to cook eggs for women in the morning? Like, for anybody listening, because it is a scary thing for anybody who's got a passion that they want to follow, to sort of leave full-time work, even if you want to go to part-time work and do something else. What's your advice in terms of making that, in terms of making that move and making it work?
I'm just going to go all out cliche and just say you have to just totally back yourself, because if you don't back yourself, nobody else does. And that goes from booking shows and actually, you know, writing jokes in the first place and getting on stage, like right through to promoting them and just reminding people all the time of what you're doing and what you want to achieve. And people start to listen to you after a while. And it's just that positive self-talk thing, you know? Yeah,
because it's not all glitzy, is it? Because you have to do all the background stuff yourself as well, like booking your own shows, like, I guess, promoting yourself, all that kind of stuff where, you know, like really big celebrities, they get all that done for them and they just need to focus on their art, where you have to actually look
either
after
do it
all
yourself
aspects.
Or, if you don't want to pay someone to do it.
Which is
exactly
a kind of boner killer, isn't it, having to do that?
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, it really can be. I mean, I guess it depends on how you look at it. And in some ways, it's really great being completely in control, because as an entertainer, you're the brand as well. So it's quite nice having control over that. Like, I always have this like terror of choosing the wrong publicist or manager or something who's like bandying your name around town and carrying on like a pork chop, and then everybody associates them with you, and so in a way it's nice to be able to present yourself the way you want to, but
and I guess it keeps you grounded as well and makes you realize how lucky you are in being able to get work and all that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah, you know, definitely, for sure. And it gets easier the bigger your network gets, and you have all this support from people and they kind of propel you forward as well. So, yeah, it has a lot of perks to it. But, yeah, you won't hear me talking like this at 7 o'clock in the morning when I'm waking up to answer emails.
Yeah, fair enough.
But you're doing a great job of managing all this yourself, because you've got quite a profile here building up. Now, at least in Melbourne, you know, my friends and I sort of all, you know your name and to look out for your shows and stuff. So, I mean, you're obviously doing it well.
Oh,
it's
thanks.
A good thing.
I've got the sneaky perk of having a public relations background as well.
Ooh, nice. Done.
Yeah, I didn't realise how well that would pan out when I randomly selected it when I was 19. Dad's what's making me go to uni. This one.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
We're here with Kirsty Wiebeck at the moment. And Kirsty, you've got a show called Hoping for the Best later this week at the Butterfly Club as part of Midwinter. What can people expect if they go along to see that? Or when they go along to see that?
Yeah, when. This is an emergency situation. These are the last 5 shows I'm going to do in Melbourne of Hoping for the Best. So have you got that, everyone? This is a crisis.
Last 55 shows.
Yeah. I probably did say that, actually. Let's be honest. What can people expect? There will be lols, definitely. I can guarantee that.
Will there be rotifles?
Hopefully, yeah.
Plenty of rotifles as well. That's good.
We can only hope. There's a lot of stairs, though, at the Butterfly Club, so I'd prefer it if people stayed upright. OH&S okay. purposes.
Fair enough.
We'll see what happens. It's a show based loosely on my employment history. But I did it for the comedy festival, and when I advertised it as that, people from my recent employment history came in droves because they were very excited about hearing my tawdry stories.
Oh my God.
Of those recent workplaces, but they didn't realise that I was actually going to be talking about the dubious jobs I had as a 15-year-old.
Right.
Yeah, but they still thoroughly enjoyed it. But I think
they wanted to hear the dirt, didn't they?
Yeah, they're really waiting for those shows to come out where I really so just go to town.
Rip into that manager with the comb over.
Because you're out, you know, you can say it. Yeah. You're not going to be punished for it.
Exactly. I'm liberated.
Oh, man, I love that. I have some stories.
What sort of jobs did you have? I mean, obviously, like, not giving away too much about your show, but can you give us any sort of snippets? Like, what were you doing as a 15-year-old?
Illegally, actually.
14 and 9 months, actually.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah,
and almost legal then. Yeah. There you go.
Well, in Canberra, the age was 14 and 9 months to get a job. And when I was 14 and 9 months...
Oh, you were serious.
Yeah. Because when I was 14 and 9 months...
when was this in the bloody 70s?
Yeah. Hey.
Settle down.
Don't insult our guests.
Come on. I've just had a rough
life. This is what, the 90s, right? So in the
the noughties. It was the noughties.
In the noughties? No, 90s. So in the 90s, you could get a job at 14 and 9 months. Are you ripping that out of me?
No, it's true. I'm pretty sure it's still the case. Yeah, because I was 14 and 9 months and like 10 minutes old when Mrs. Wiebeck got me my first job.
Oh, brilliant.
So Mrs. Wiebeck, as in...
Was that scrubbing out mom? Was that scrubbing out the cooker for $5?
No, I'd already been doing that for 14 years and 9 months.
For bloody free.
And 9 minutes.
Yeah. On a voluntary basis.
For a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, she had to get me a real job because she was under investigation by Amnesty International.
Lovely. jokes.
All jokes. She, mum used to cruise around town with my older sister and my resume in bulk, and she'd just walk into the supermarket and make it rain, basically.
Oh, my daughter.
Yeah, she's responsible and punctual. Punctual. Like, Mrs. Wiebeck's big on punctuality. Yeah.
I think that's all you need to get a job at 14 and 9 months.
And hobbies.
A heartbeat.
Yeah, a heartbeat, hobbies, like maybe some sturdy shoes. That's pretty much it.
So you obviously ticked those boxes.
Yeah. Well, I had the sturdy shoes anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Your shoes are sturdy.
Oh, it's sad. Life gets so much harder as you get older.
It does,
It's so clear, isn't it, when you're 14 and 9 months.
Yeah. You just rock up and you're like, oh, yeah, I like skateboarding and kicking the footy. And they're like, done. Awesome. You're going to be Google. A grad checkout Google. Operator.
Yeah, you're grad.
Yeah. Your skateboarding skills will go a long way in aisle 10, restocking the tin goods.
So I think Anne-Louise was responsible for that noise, by the way, everybody.
I'm just picturing you as a 14-year-old little snotty going into the supermarket and going, yeah, I'm here. Yeah. Right, what do you want me to do? You want me to stand behind that checkout? Are you mad?
Yeah, are you off your face?
Yeah.
What are you getting?
I'm going out for a fag break. Yeah. Surely it's my fag break. It's like 9:10.
Did you have attitude?
Oh, yeah. I've got the worst aversion to authority in the world. It's been an ongoing project for my entire life, like trying to get rid of it. And I feel like it's getting better, but I don't respond well to people telling me what to do. I'm just like, what do you mean? Which, that's why I'm not really such an ideal employee, because it's like, oh, Kirsty, can you please file this? Because that's your primary task. And I'm like...
File it yourself, you lazy bugger.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, well, yeah. Can your mum file it?
The filing cabinet's over there. Yeah.
Sarah, it's like number 3.
Yeah, treat yourself.
Yeah.
What, have you got a master's in delegation?
Oh, God.
This is why I work for myself, you see. No one else will have it.
Clearly it's working for you.
Self-employment seems like a good option for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you must have some good stories from... gigs that you've done as well. Mm-hmm. What's the funniest or the weirdest thing that's happened to you during
gig? Or the most terrible thing that's happened to you, please?
Surely
something bad happened
once. I know. I really wish I had a cracking story about this. The probably the worst thing that's happened to me on stage is really recently about...
Did you lose your pants?
Oh, no.
That would have been a good story. Proper everything, undies too.
Yeah, how would that have been bad? I'm failing to see that as a disaster.
Well, if you had a belly top on at the time, it probably would have shown a bit too much.
Yeah, it's good to leave a bit to the imagination, isn't it? I have a bit of an air of mystery about you. I'm all about discretion. I just, my throat dried up recently on stage and I just started clasping my throat and I couldn't talk anymore because there was just like, there was no liquid in there. So
you couldn't even muster it's a bit called of saliva, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Liquid.
There was no liquid in my throat.
So I was like, I can't talk. And the audience, that's what you just did, the face that the audience did. I wish the listeners could hear, could even see that face you just did. That was perfect. Everyone was like, they were so confused. And then I evacuated because I had to.
Your bowels?
Well, that too. But the stage and my bowels. Yeah, I was
hopefully
out of there.
In that order.
Yeah, definitely hopefully in that order.
Yeah, hopefully.
But you can get away with stuff like that when you're a comedian because people are like, oh, was that a joke or not? And then they'll just laugh nervously.
Yeah, that's right.
They're like, oh, well, it wasn't really funny, but we don't...
I'm meant to laugh. I'm at a comedy gig. Yeah.
We're not sure if that was meant to be a joke or if it's an actual medical emergency, but... golf clap. Let's just we'll give her a golf clap, you know. And just before that, just to answer your question, Emma... I did a 50th anniversary for an Air Force squadron in Canberra.
Right.
And it was
exciting.
I was like, yeah, that sounds mad. And then 2 days before, it's like the penny dropped what was happening. And because all of my mates started saying, do they realise that you're,
a lesbanian?
Yeah. Yes. A lesbino. Do they, And I was like, oh, my gosh, they've booked me thinking I'm a gentleman.
And they're like all octogenarians.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hello.
Yeah. It was actually a hoot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I love hoots, and it was a hoot.
I love hoots.
I love hoots.
Like, those really innocent hoots?
Yeah.
Where nobody in the room curses, but it's just a blast.
That was what it was. It was great. So it felt like it was going to be like the biggest disaster in the galaxy, but it was, it was a hoot, guys. So if you're ever invited along, get into it.
Yeah. I go to the local RSL, might pick up a few there.
Yeah, treat yourself. Friday night, RSL.
$1 pints.
Yes, that is amazing. That is amazing.
Oh, Kirsty, we're going to hear a song now that you have chosen for us. But just before that, so people can go to your website, which is kirstywebeck.com.
Yes.
Which is W-E-B-E-C-K.
Very good.
I have it written down.
Emma's done her research.
Where is that from? Is it like Polish or something?
I think it's German. Isn't that a terrible thing to say? I think it's German. I've had 32 years to research this.
Sorry, how old are you? 23?
19 years to research this.
4 years.
14 and 9 months. It's German, and Emma, good work. You've spelt it correctly. You've nailed it.
So, yes, go to that website. I won't say it again. KirstyWebeck.com. Mm-hmm. The show is called Hoping for the Best, August 5th to the 8th.
9th. Yeah.
We'll squeeze one extra
in at the end.
Didn't do that part so well.
I'm doing an encore on the 9th, just for you, Emma.
Zach the researcher.
You've been a lot of fun in here tonight, a great guest, so everybody should get along and check that out.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.